Senator Ted Cruz reacts to Biden's comments.
You know, there's a Yiddish word called chutzpah, and I think Joe Biden is embodying that word right now. We just had news breaking today that in the last several months, the Biden administration has released over 7,000 illegal aliens who were COVID positive just in one Texas city, in the city of McAllen. Joe Biden likes to talk about this pandemic. Well, I'll tell you what, the election of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris was a super spreader event because their open border is endangering not just the people of Texas, but people all across the country.
That audio courtesy of Fox News. In financial news, a down day on Wall Street at the closing bell, the Dow losing 323 points to close at 34,792. The S&P falling 20 points. The NASDAQ did gain 19. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
But I'll tell you who's got five.
Few clouds tonight in areas, some spots to the north, cooler, noticeably in the 60s. Otherwise, 70s, and temperatures will be rebounding through the day. A sunny to partly cloudy afternoon and a slim chance of thunderstorm Thursday with the high going to low 90s. Rain chances will come back Friday with higher humidity returning. A few of those afternoons, scattered thunderstorms. Then there are likely thunderstorms Saturday and Sunday afternoons. Morning low 70s. Each day's highs of 90 to low 90s. Ralph Sanji, WGSO. It's quality used tires at affordable prices at Rico's Tires and Wheels, 2609 David Drive, Metairie. Rico's offers quality used tires, they fix flat tires, and they do wheel repair. And while there, get that spare tire checked out. Check out Rico's on David Drive, Metairie. Rico's Tires and Wheels, just a few blocks south of Veterans, 2609 David Drive, Metairie. Rico's Tires and Wheels, 504-455-5199.
This is Maritime Matters with Eric Schein on WGSO AM 990, the program that dives into everything American that comes together at our water's edge.
All right, we can hear Matthew. I don't know if anybody can hear me.
Well, I can hear you.
Is that you, Matthew?
Yes. Can you hear me pretty well?
Oh, I hear you really well. I hear you dropping pins over there, man.
Okay. Okay.
Great. Well, this is Maritime Matters, your host, Eric Schein, and I already have Matthew Arrett on the program. He was on, was it about a month ago?
Yeah, thereabouts.
And he's Canadian. He has, I would call it a Canadian e-zine, the Canadian Patriot, a sovereign voice in a chorus of nations, where he posts a lot of his articles and information, and his website is CanadianPatriot.org. I would recommend people to go there. His name is spelled M-A-T-T-H-E-W, and he has his initials in there, J-L, J period, L period, and then Arrett, E-H-R-E-T. And I agree with him on a lot of the stuff that he puts out, and I love reading his articles. There's a few things that we don't agree on yet, and I'll leave it at that, and we can talk about that, like the central bank and things like that. I mean, I just think that one of the reasons separation of powers is so important is that, you know, only very few things are or should be coming from the central federal government. Whether it's a constitutional monarchy, which I am like our founders here in the United States, I abhor. I don't like anything royal. I'm sorry.
Amen.
And I don't know how far you can go with that because you are a subject to the crown in Canada. And I, you know, like you've mentioned to me before, and I think you mentioned it on the program, was that Canada's the main reason Canada exists is to take back the United States for the British crown.
Well, yeah. And I mean, you know, that it really helps a lot to, you know, to cut through a lot of the misinformation, to just begin without any suppositions or assumptions that Canada is somehow a legitimate country that has some, you know, self-contained existence.
Yeah.
No, exactly. If you start from the standpoint that popular narrative is bullshit, when you look at history, it's a purely geopolitical chess piece.
Language.
Sorry. Language. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know if that's okay or not, but let's.
It's French. I'm from Quebec. We use French.
Exactly.
French
words,
so that's exactly. That means something totally different in Quebec.
Bullshite.
Well, yeah. the Irish version.
It's a spelling, so that, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And, but overall, it's a geopolitical chess piece. And I think I think you and I, the reason why we get along so well is that we tend to both look at world history from the standpoint that there is this oligarchical parasite, which is artificially latched onto humanity and is just trying to suck. It can only suck things dry like a host, a parasite on a host that ends up killing its host every single time it gets what it wants. And you know, from that standpoint, looking at history that way, going back to ancient times or the current world, you get a better sense of what is this deep state thing? What are these international financier oligarchs, right, that have been manipulating things? It has more of a character to it.
Like Klaus Schwab. And you mentioned in your email, one thing that you wanted to go to was the Club of Rome. A lot of people talk about that, but I don't know if they really understand it. It gets into roundtable groups and the Malthusian agenda, as you put in your email. And the WEF, or the World Economic Forum, but go ahead and run with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the important thing is, I think, to get at the underlying ideologies of the beast. What is it afraid of? What does it want? What is it governed by, in order to sort of get a sense of its weaknesses? And, I mean, from there, you brought up the Club of Rome. That's what we were talking about a little bit, and how that was connected to the World Economic Forum, which was set up in 1971. The ball got rolling with Klaus Schwab, and people have begun realizing, especially under the COVID pandemonium, that there is something of a conspiracy. Now, the problem is, a lot of people, they tend to see these evil characters like George Soros, whose hands are just everywhere, or Klaus Schwab, these wretched sociopaths who are just like higher up, upper level management for this beast. And they think, okay, that's it. It's a Klaus Schwab conspiracy. It's a George Soros conspiracy, but not really, you know. They are, and I do like thinking of them as upper level managers, maybe at best, representing an ideology and enforcing it. But the ideology is one of Malthusianism, an idea that, there is a limit to the number of people that we as responsible elites can permit to graze upon the fields of the earth, within acceptable numbers. And this is something which used to be seen as fringe idiocy for much of human history. It was always there. I mean, you always see traces of this, but especially coming out of the American Revolution, there was an idea that no, human beings are more than just talking cows grazing on a feudal lord's estate, and that we're endowed by inalienable rights and a power of mental activity that allows us to make discoveries and transcend our limits all the time when we are encouraging our children to be the best that they can be, to actualize the powers of their cognitive thoughts and make discoveries, right? And whenever you make a discovery, all of a sudden the limits that formerly were imposed on your society before when you were ignorant of that law of nature, all of a sudden they've changed. All of the limits to growth have changed. Animals are not like that. They're, rabbits will adapt to the laws of the environment, and that's it. The mothers will eat the babies when there's just not enough food, and the population will regulate itself. Human beings are not like that. We're not bound by the same laws. But these Malthusians, who follow the theories of Thomas Malthus, and that's what Klaus Schwab and all of these guys running the Club of Rome, like Alexander King, who was the head of the OECD during the 1950s, who was running the education reforms, and who started the Club of Rome with Aurelio Picciai, the head of Volkswagen, which is crazy Nazi ties. What they did in 1968, 69, when they set up the Club of Rome, was to usher in a new wisdom to replace the idea that technology and science and humanity were good and should be defended from empires, and replace that with the idea that, no, nature is good when it's left alone, and we should do everything to save nature from humans. That's really the sleight of hand that they brought in. So the World Economic Forum and the Club of Rome together brought that in.
Well, and the whole thing on the their ideologies and or their way of thinking, all you have to do is look up in the sky at night and see that they're smoking crack. I mean, I hate to put it that way, but, we have unlimited resources, and all we have to do is, you know, learn to get off the planet and carry on some space exploration. And as far as shortages of any materials, those will quickly disappear.
Yeah. You know, that's actually the subject of my new article that I hear the music coming on, so I think I'm going to have to stop fast here.
No, go ahead. Real quick. We got it like a few seconds.
In the next couple of days, I'm going to publish The Dynamics of Space Diplomacy, Part 1, Humanity as a Species of the Stars or Lab Rats in a Geopolitical Cage, going through how space science was taken down and sabotaged by these Malthusians from the 1960s and 70s onward.
Well, some of the people involved in my own quote-unquote military tribunal and everything that's gone on, they're both like Commandant Admiral Allen is now working for NASA or tied to NASA, and so is the good doctor, Captain French, who sat in the proceedings. He's now attached to NASA as well. So we'll come back, talk about that and some more good stuff right after this short commercial break.
Hey, Roz here. Have you outgrown your current square footage? In the market to start developing a real estate investment portfolio? Or are you a first-time home buyer with lots of questions about where to start? I'm Roslyn Kaermer with Ladder and Bloom. Whatever your real estate needs, let my experience and enthusiasm help guide you through every detail. I've assisted clients just like you on both sides of the lake. Call Roslyn Kaermer at 504-473-8337, the agent that cares.
Hi, I'm Pete Genazzaro with Genazzaro Realty Appraisals and Sales. We provide appraisals for multiple reasons, such as mortgages, refinancing, estate successions, property settlement, and more. We have local knowledge and experience, so bring in the experts at Genazzaro Realty and make sure your property is being evaluated correctly. Genazzaro Realty Appraisals and Sales, now with three locations, Uptown, Downtown, and Metairie. Call 504-831-0507 or visit genazzarorealty.com for appraisals and sales.
The Beat Exchange with Barbara Hoover, Monday evenings at 7 p.m. The place for unadulterated truths, brought to you by a pillar of the New Orleans community. From civil rights to constitutional rights to elder rights to just what's plain right, the Beat Exchange is your local community voice. Tune in to the Beat Exchange with Barbara Hoover, Monday evenings at 7 p.m.
Over the last 75 years, New Orleans has gone through many changes, and so has WGSO. From our early beginnings in 1946, broadcasting from the Jung Hotel, being home to Papa Stappa in the 1950s, being a music station, talking biz radio to speakeasy New Orleans style, you, our loyal listeners, have been here every step of the way with WGSO. It's now our 75th anniversary, and we are so proud to have you here with us to celebrate. So we're going to celebrate all year long to show our gratitude to you and make 2021 our most successful year yet. And we will also continue to bring programs that appeal to people of all backgrounds. So from all of us at WGSO, we want to say thank you for making us the community voice of the Crescent City.
And now an important message from Josh Groban.
We are missing the sounds of a busy morning, the sounds of joyfulness, crowded sidewalks. We are missing the soundtrack of our lives. We all yearn to connect again, and we will, but we must keep following the necessary guidelines until we are all safe. Please get vaccinated. Let's bring back the soundtrack of our lives. Let's unite to prevent.
For more information, visit unitetoprevent.org.
Hear the music, right?
Yeah.
All right, so we're back. This is Maritime Matters with Eric Schein. This is WGSO AM 990, and I'm with Matthew Arrett. And from CanadianPatriot.org, is that the best, identifier, I guess, for want of a better word, to use for you? I mean, you're a journalist, you're producer, show. Yeah. Do you have a show?
Well, I do a weekly show I do a weekly show called The Strategic Hour on Rogue News every Tuesday, which goes up on my website as well. I wear a lot of hats. I'm the director of an organization with my wife called the Rising Tide Foundation, and people can also reach me on Substack as well. So
shout out to your wife and for her efforts. Yeah. What you've written a couple books.
Yeah, I just finished a new one actually last week. Come to think of it,
wow! Congratulations.
It's called. Thank you. Yeah, it's the first volume of two. It's The Clash of the Two Americas, Volume 1, 1774 to 1901. So the idea is to try to get across what are these two opposing characters within U.S. history that are at war with each other, you know? Like, the idea is that
I was going to say, you mean the Republic side where it's of by and for the people, and the Kingdom side where it's, you know, the crown's still messing with us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And just to get across like that, the American Revolution never ended. It didn't end in 1783 at the signing of the treaty or the Peace of Paris. That's what I actually have on the cover is the unfinished painting by Benjamin West, the American painter in 1783 with Ben Franklin and, you know, Adams and the American delegation sitting. But the British delegation just refused to show up. So it's an unfinished painting, but I thought it really got across the essence of U.S. history well, because the British never forgave America for getting their asses kicked in over those six years and creating on the earth something new that had never existed before as far as a government, like you said, founded as a nation for, by, and of the people. That had never been a thing before, right? So the British have been committed, the oligarchy at least, not the British people or even the government, but the oligarchy has been committed for the past 250 plus years, as you know, and I'm sure most of your audience knows, of just undermining and reabsorbing their belligerent colonies back into the hive. This first volume goes through some of that in the, you know, up until 1901 with the assassination of McKinley.
But I want to point out too, as you said, colonies, not colony, you know, that it's not just Canada, it's not just the United States, it's all of the former, you know, even Hong Kong, I believe, has been offered up to be taken back and to claim as much of China as possible in doing that, that they want, you know, and they will use China to do this and use China to attack America and go to war with us so that they can come in on the East Coast or both coasts and top to bottom and take back the United States and Canada and even Mexico with it, because Maximilian is related to all these same people, the Habsburgs.
Yeah, no, that's right. And these empires of the old world, while on the surface they had at different times wars amongst each other, I think the thing to keep in mind is that the upper level oligarchs, the inner families that maintained control within, you know, the Habsburg Empire power structures or the British Empire or the Belgian Empire, it's ultimately the same. They were still collaborating above their war making amongst themselves even. And we saw, I think the thing that really gets at the essence of their collaboration was found in the 1815 Congress of Vienna, you know, that instituted it was the restoration of the monarchies after the defeat of Napoleon, where they basically said, okay, we're going to ban all revolutionary thought from Europe forever. We'll have things like the Carlsbad decrees of inquisitors controlling the press, controlling the schools, firing teachers if they have thoughts.
It sounds so contemporary. It sounds
very
so
much.
Sorry.
Well, there's reason why Henry Kissinger, that was the first published book he ever published in 1958, was on Metternich and Castlereagh's Congress of Vienna. And he saw that and continued to speak about that period as the most important period of world history. So if you look at what Kissinger represents as far as what Klaus Schwab or, you know, on a lower level, I guess, George Soros represents, it's ultimately that same idea that society must be organized by stasis, equilibrium. And the thing with human nonlinear thoughts when we're being creative, or like you said earlier, exploring the stars, or anything that involves going into the unknown and making eurekas happen and translating that into new technologies and discoveries, it upsets equilibrium, their mathematical equilibrium that they're obsessed by, kind of like an occultish religion, and they hate it. So that's really what has been at the heart of, you know, again, the best of American statecraft has emerged to enhance, whether it was Benjamin Franklin's incredible discoveries of electricity and, you know, sharing that with other people, or whether you look at John Quincy Adams' work in statecraft, which is all about, again, cultivating the powers of the people's minds to make new inventions and apply them, all the way up to Lincoln and Henry C. Carey and his network. It was always in opposition to this Congress of Vienna, Malthusian way of thinking about the universe, cosmology, human nature. So it's really, it's so vital for anybody, whether you're Canadian, in your Hong Kong or Europe, you got to look at history from the standpoint of how the British have tried to undo the American Revolution and reestablish a global British Empire, which is what the Great Reset or the New World Order, as it used to be called, is really all about. It's just a new reestablishment of the same friggin' thing that was there for hundreds of years.
Well, the British were taken over by Rome and were controlled by Rome for 500 years. And I say that the European Union is the new Roman Empire, and they're trying to treat us as if we're a rogue Carthage and, you know, basically come in, take over, and have guys like Alan Dulles, who was the head of the CIA that Kennedy fired, who was also the president of the Council on Foreign Relations, which is a British organization, for want of a better term for it. But Dick Cheney, who said that, you know, from World War I up to the fall of the wall was the long war. He was also the director or president of the Council on Foreign Relations as well. I hear the music.
Yeah, Hillary Clinton.
Go ahead.
Oh, no. Slowly. It's creeping.
Go ahead.
But yeah, Hillary Clinton, right, also called the Council on Foreign Relations the mothership. And that's
exactly
what it is.
Yeah. And, or England.
I mean, anybody. Yeah, exactly. And anybody who's read some Carol Quigley or you know, there's a lot of good researchers that have produced some wonderful material. They know that this is a British. It's like this is the British Royal Society of International Affairs in America. And it was just a little bit too conspicuous to call it that, the Royal, you know, the Royal Institute for International Affairs of America. That was a bit too conspicuous in 1921. So they were like, well, let's call it the Council on Foreign Relations instead.
But you know what? You know who else met at Georgetown, I think it was, under Quigley? He was at Georgetown, right?
Yeah, Bill Clinton.
Yeah. Well, not just Clinton, but Paul Pelosi and Nancy Pelosi.
Mm.
Met in his class.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's very interesting. I don't think that every single Rhodes Scholar who's been through the brainwashing necessarily is evil, but most of them do tend to be. The chances are likely that yes, you are a zombie. Like Kris Kristofferson, I just found out was a Rhodes Scholar, and I think he's a decent singer and actor, but he broke with his mold. But for the most part, yeah, I mean, that's why Cecil Rhodes created his seven or his wills, including the Last Testament of Faith in 1877, where he outlined the purpose of reconquering, reabsorbing the lost American colonies and creating a new global empire.
Exactly.
That's what the Rhodes Scholarship is all about.
On that note, you hear the music coming up. When we come back, let's get into the World Economic Forum, because they do have a constitution, and Klaus Schwab has set it up so that his children are the heirs of the World Economic Forum. We'll be right back with Matthew Arrett. This is Eric Schein, Maritime Matters, WGSO AM 990. Good stuff.
Yeah.
WGSO 990 AM has recently become recognized as an official 501c3 nonprofit organization capable of accepting tax-deductible donations. So, in commemoration of our 75th anniversary, the station is launching a 75 for 75 campaign with the goal of raising $75,000 in 2021. The funds that are raised will be dedicated to help the station fulfill our broadcast mission and satisfy any equipment needs that arise. These donations are especially important because, unlike most radio stations in New Orleans, WGSO is independent, locally owned and operated, and not part of a national broadcasting conglomerate. To donate, go to WGSO.com and click on the Donate button on the front page. Help us to continue to be the community voice of the Crescent City.
Let's talk about America. Not taxes or tweets or the issues that divide us, but how incredible our country is. Left, right, up, down, state lines to winding coastlines. Whether you come home to a crowded city street, tree-lined suburb, or sleepy small town, everyone deserves to live in a clean, green, and thriving community. And we all share in the responsibility to create beauty that ripples from one neighborhood to another and one block to the next. We are Keep America Beautiful, the nonprofit working with millions of people just like you to end littering, improve recycling, and beautify our communities. Because every mindful action and sustainable habit has a positive impact, and it all adds up. Learn how you can join Keep America Beautiful at KAB.org. Together, we can do beautiful things.
Louisiana Radio Network, I'm Brooke Thorington. LSU announces unvaccinated students will be required to test monthly for COVID during the fall semester. While some professors have asked LSU leadership to make vaccines mandatory, System President William Tate is only recommending that students get vaccinated.
I want to encourage everyone to go out and get the vaccination. The vaccination is the primary and critical way that we can get back to pre-pandemic kind of activities.
Grambling State University is utilizing federal pandemic recovery funds to pay off $1.5 million in student account balances that accrued from spring 2020 through the summer of 2021. Associate VP of Finance Sheila Fawcett says these fees and balances that are being paid off are not the same as student loans.
Now, this is not student loan debt. Again, the debt is only the balance that they have on their student account. So we are forgiving the balance on their student account, not their student loan.
LouisianaRadioNetwork.com.
And with that, the Tigers are putting another point onto the scoreboard. The runner is coming around, and he's heading to home plate. But wait, he's running to the newsstand to pick up the latest edition of Tiger Rag Magazine. I've never seen anything like it before.
Tiger Rag Magazine. Tiger Rag Magazine. Tiger Rag Magazine.
Are you looking for the latest in LSU sports news?
Tiger Rag Magazine.
No worries, we've got you covered. Tiger Rag Magazine.
Check this out.
Get Tiger Rag in your rotation. Tiger Rag Magazine.
Tiger Rag.
Find it local newsstands, deliver to your mailbox, or flip the pages on TigerRag.com.
Tiger Rag Magazine covers all things LSU sports.
Wake up with a fresh dish of sports news direct to your email.
Tiger Rag Daily.
You've got all the LSU sports news you need.
Football,
basketball,
baseball,
volleyball, gymnastics, track. We've got it all.
Tiger Rag.
Hi, this is Clay with Liberty or Lockdown. I'm moving to a new show and a new hour. Join me for What's Your Passion Live to talk about promoting your passion or your business. What's Your Passion is a live show that promotes businesses and podcasts around the city. So join me every Thursday from 12 to 1. Or you can go to www.wypagency.com to get your business or podcast promoted. See you there.
The Edwards Mortgage Group, the Maison Collective, NOLA Title Group, and ARC Insurance Consultants are the ones to call on for all of your home needs. Whether it's mortgages, closings, sales, or insurance, they take care of your home needs, and now they have come together to help take care of the needs of our beloved New Orleans music community by partnering with Bougainvillea Productions and Soul Project NOLA for Funky Uncle Dot Live. Funky Uncle Dot Live is a free webcast live from the one-of-a-kind Mardi Gras float, the Funky Uncle Lounge, that features New Orleans musicians playing live music combined with interviews and outreach news to raise money for the entertainment community of New Orleans that have been impacted by COVID-19. You can join in the funky fun time by simply going to www.funkyuncle.live every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Coming to the Funky Uncle Lounge on August 4th, it's Eric Struthers and Friends, and on August 11th, Jamal Batiste Band. For more information on how you can support live from the Funky Uncle, go to funkyuncle.live and follow us on social media.
Hey, Tracy, you know what I'm thinking about buying our friends for the holidays?
Oh, what?
Bar2Go, a compact case that allows you to travel virtually anywhere with your 50-milliliter liquor bottles. Choose from top grain leather, which can be debossed, or heavyweight canvas, which can be embroidered. Custom work is welcome. Bar2Go can be found at www.thebar2go.com. And just like our favorite spirit, it's made in the USA.
Well, that sounds like a plan. Can you get me one, too?
Of course, Tracy. Don't forget www.thebartogo.com.
Maritime Matters on WGSO out of New Orleans, and I'm with Matthew Arrett, and we were talking off the air, and that became part of on the air, and we talked just before the break, and we can go into anything. We're, you know, talking macro, if not global, historic politics, you know, not from even the inception of the United States, but that's a good part of it. Because it is something new, or was at the time and still is and should be, and people are looking to us to kind of, you know, help save that of, by, and for the people and fight against these royals and kingdoms and whatnot. But we talked about the World Economic Forum that has its own constitution that Klaus Schwab has set up. James Corbett talks about that a little bit in the Corbett Report. He had a video out in the last couple of weeks, and it's not just a constitutional whatever, non-governmental organization that's governmental by default, but it's also a kingdom because he has set up the constitution where the World Economic Forum passes to his heirs, much like in a kingdom, not in a republic or some system of a public trust that's for, you know, all the people, of, by, and for the people. It real quick, and I'll throw it back to you, but the other thing I'd like to touch on, and I think we talked about it, but we didn't really get into it, is that our founders here in the United States not only fought against this form of government as far as kingdoms and the royal families and crown, but also their corporations. You know, we set up not only the states to where you can't have an interstate corporation, and or international to some extent, which in my mind goes to the central bank issue as well, that a lot of this stuff was supposed to be broken up. Like, how can the federal government carry on oversight, especially under the Commerce Clause or anything along those lines, in between states, if everything is not allowed to be taken care of by the individual state first and foremost, and then any disputes arising between the states or a company crossing state lines or whatever, would then have the federal government and or federal courts step in and adjudicate the matters and or resolve the matters. But with that said, let's go to the World Economic Forum and go ahead and run with it.
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, you know, I did look into a little bit of the claim that Corbett made that there was a constitution. I think I chatted with you a little bit by email that right. Klaus Schwab started, and I couldn't personally substantiate that by finding the actual constitution that is of a hereditary sort. Now, so I can't necessarily just say that I know that for sure, but I do know that the pedigree of the beast is certainly a dynastic-oriented system. I do know that for sure. That's the way these guys organize themselves, and that's always been the case of keeping it in the family, right? And giving the idea of authority on not through merit or from capacities that are earned, but rather just through the blood, through the genetic stock of yeah. one's own progeny. That's somehow enough to qualify you for leadership. So that is, I think, ultimately why this imperial system is destined to dissolve at some point, maybe not necessarily in our lifetimes, though I hope so, but over the longer sweep of human history, I don't think it can really withstand natural law because it is so unnatural, and it crushes what is most natural and good and necessary about human beings, which is to create discoveries and excel and go beyond our limits by loving the truth, right? That's what makes human beings. And rabbits are great. My cat is great, but it doesn't do those things.
Well, but the other thing real quick too, is that people have thrown out the analogy that we're in a new dark ages. And that goes to like what you just mm-hmm. said.
Yeah, no, I do think that that's when you actually look at what makes dark ages. So the trend of dark ages, whether they are in, ancient times, you know, the collapse of Greece, the collapse of Rome, or more recent times of the 14th century, there are certain common characteristics, and certainly the loss of knowledge is a big one. The loss of population, where you know Europe lost a third or more of its people, with the rise of things like the bubonic plague and all of these things. If you look at what initiated all of that, it was economic. You had a system of empire that was premised on debt slavery and speculation. And you had certain banking houses, like the houses of Bardi and Peruzzi of Italy, that were big speculative usurious banks that had created a giant bubble based on unpayable debts. And when a British king in the 1340s decided to default on his debt of, I think it was like he had a security in sheep or something, it created a chain reaction, and like the complete breakdown of all economic activity resulted in absence of means of sanitation, absence of means of paying for goods, and starvation. All sorts of a petri dish naturally occurred, which spread around the world. I mean, not a single part of the world, as far as we know, was untouched by this thing. And it took a very long time for the Renaissance, to begin to pull people out of that through a big fight, a big political fight. So this is something which certainly I think when you look at what we've lost since the death of John F. Kennedy and the murders of Enrico Mattei, the Italian industrialist in 61, and Bobby Kennedy and so many others in the 60s and onward. Oh, man, later on, yeah. I mean, there was
President Diem really, in Vietnam. And
There's been so many
eliminated. Let me throw out is there's some articles and information and videos and stuff out recently about how for the last 100 years, the United States has been used as a puppet or banana republic. And this gets into Alan Dulles and Chiquita Banana and blah, 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 or Dole, to where we've been going around and not attacking kingdoms. We've actually been used like Halliburton and KBR. They went and hid in Dubai, which is a kingdom. Where we're going around and taking down any and all other republics around the world.
It's quite the irony, eh? And the fact that, and you might at some point really having an interview with my wife, who did a recent series that she published on John Foster Dulles and the JFK's fight with the deep state and how it took over and covered up his the real causes of his death. But yeah, no, absolutely. And Alan Dulles is really a pox.
I'm trying to think of the law firm, Sullivan Cromwell.
Sullivan Cromwell, yeah, that's right. Yeah, and the fact that it was that Alan Dulles was directly the key man who brought in the Gehlen networks, Reinhard Gehlen, who was Hitler's intelligence operator. He brought him in his entire network. My wife goes through this brilliantly in her paper. She's nice. Using a lot of David Talbot's work from The Devil's Passport.
Is it out yet?
I'll send you the link to the trilogy.
Nice.
Yeah. But yeah, this guy was reinstalled as the head of West German intelligence throughout the entire next, 20, 30 years. The Nazis took back control.
But they didn't just take back control. They used the national security umbrella to have the land bridge between Germany and Nazi Germany and the United States to move in, not just through the Roman Catholic Church and Rome, but through the program of Paperclip, not just von Braun, but all kinds of legitimate Nazis who were agents of the empire of Nazi Germany into the United States and Canada and Mexico and a lot of other countries, South America.
Yeah, big time. Argentina has a huge, huge Nazi base even today. The guy, what was his name from Brad Pitt played him in 7 Years in Tibet, forgot his name all of a sudden, was the one of Hitler's top guys.
Erlichman, or who are we talking like?
No, not him. Deployed to find the but he was on one of these teams that were deployed to Tibet to find the origins of the Aryan race.
Spear?
Could be him. But yeah, he ends up mentoring the young Dalai Lama when he's
measuring noses and doing all that stuff.
And then he ended up living out his life after the war in Argentina, and you have like you know, pictures of the Dalai Lama going and hugging his old mentor, father figure, the Nazi. And you wonder, like, how is it and why is it that the CIA has been using the Dalai Lama and his brother since the, you know, 60s and onward to run destabilization operations against China? It's always been an operation.
Tim Kennedy.
Tied to the exact same Alan Dulles Nazi networks.
Exactly. That's where he was the head of the CIA. Yeah. And he took out our president. I'm saying that
the president
openly.
Did fire him, right?
Exactly. And then the president did plead with the media, the Fourth Estate, to get into this, get into secret societies. They are antithem to our free state, a free nation state. And instead of doing what he requested, you know, and I see it that he was basically pleading with them. And when you watch the speech, to do their job and investigate and report upon these secret societies. And they didn't do it. And he was assassinated. And then Dulles takes over the Warren Commission.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Who's the guy who's brought right in? And that's the thing that I think is very, very important for people to appreciate, that there's not really just one thing that Kennedy was doing that was such a danger to the empire. He was exposing this thing, but he was also fighting against the military-industrial complex. He was pulling out of Vietnam. He was working with other leaders like Kwame Nkrumah in Ghana to help them build infrastructure and export massive, massive industrialization programs to help these countries stand on their own two feet instead of remain colonized by an Anglo-American, you know, system. He was doing so many things, including the space program that he was unleashing, the nuclear rockets, the water continental water management programs. Like, he's operating on a full spectrum level, and people have to really appreciate that. Yep.
Hear the music. Sorry.
All's good.
And he was Catholic, and he was Irish too.
I may never have met you. We don't go way back. Maybe we wouldn't even be friends if we did. But when you wear a mask, you have my respect. Because your mask doesn't protect you. It protects me. I wear my mask to protect you. Mask up, America.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Clay with Witcher Passion Live. Join me every Thursday from 12 to 1 for 1 hour of talk to talk about your passion and you.
The wait is over. Morning Call is back. Come visit us at our beautiful new location at the corner of Canal Boulevard and City Park Avenue. Enjoy our spacious outdoor patio or come on in and savor the unique ambiance. Delight your taste buds with our hand-rolled sourdough beignets, our delicious French drip, dark roast coffee and chicory, or sample one of our other local offerings. For over 151 years, Morning Call has been patronized by tourists and notables the world over.
Hey y'all, the Beat Exchange has a new time slot. Mondays at 7 p.m. on WGSO, 990 a.m. in New Orleans. The Beat Exchange with Barbara Hoover.
Serving the Gulf South from New Orleans. WGSO, New Orleans News Radio. WGSO.
Celebrating 75 years, we are the community voice of the Crescent City. WGSO 990 AM.
I'm Andrew Saul, Commissioner of Social Security. I'm here to warn you about telephone scammers pretending to be government employees. Some of these scammers may say threatening things like you will be arrested if you don't make payments or provide personal information. Do not fall for these tricks. These calls are not from us. Real Social Security employees will never threaten you for information or money. If you receive a call like this, hang up. Never give the caller your personal information, like your Social Security number or bank account, or send money in any form, cash, gift cards, wire transfers, or prepaid debit cards. Report the call to our law enforcement arm, the Office of the Inspector General, at oig.ssa.gov. Share this information with your friends and family.
More
and more Americans are listening on American ground. Listen each Saturday from noon to 1 p.m. with Louis R. Avalone and Stephen Parr.
Okay, we're coming back.
U.S. presidents knighted by the Queen. Checking set here.
All right, we're coming back. This is Maritime Matters. Your host, Eric Schein, WGSO AM 990 out of New Orleans. Okay, I know I'm butchering it. I am from the South, from San Diego, but not the same South. Sorry, people. But I did work in New Orleans, shipped out of New Orleans, and actually lived in Mobile for a while and worked out of Pascagoula, Mississippi at the shipyard there, Ingalls. Shout out to all the private and Navy and DOD personnel in the area and in the world, if not the nation as well. But we're with Matthew Arrett from Canada, and we were just talking about people getting knighted and the web network of the British Empire in the United States and how it's done everything to make sure that our nation as a republic and Canada as an independent constitutional monarchy, I guess. I don't know what you guys consider yourself a democracy, right? But you're really not.
Most Canadians don't even know what they are. They would say if you had a survey conducted, I think they would say it's democracy. But it is a constitutional monarchy, whatever that means. But it's a deep state society. It's organized around a privy council, lieutenant governors, governor generals. Most people are just you're not elected. You don't know what they're doing.
And you can't tell them what to do or ask them or have them look at anything. Or, yeah.
Not really, no. I mean, no. And you're right. I was just Googling it during the break. Yeah, you told me that Reagan and Eisenhower were knighted. I knew about Bush Sr., but I didn't know about the other two.
Bush Jr. too, because it's a hereditary title. So George W. Bush was...
Dirty.
Yeah, no, that's where you have to really stop and read a lot. And even if it's from somebody you don't agree with or somebody you don't like or, you know, somebody who you don't even respect, their information or conclusions or whatever, there's always a lot of truth that you might not find otherwise. And you have to fight your way through it because a lot of times they go 90% of the way through, totally logical. And then in the very end, in the conclusion, they jump 180 degrees out and say, but, and you're like, what, where, how did you do that? It's like, you just laid out all the arguments for a perfect article on how I agree with something and what I would think logically, you know, through. And then in the end, you come to a conclusion that is 180 degrees out from what you just laid out. And you're like, what?
Yeah. And you're like, I'm with you this whole way. And now all of a sudden, it's lizards from the 11th dimension sucking my fear energy. That's at the heart of it, then, really?
Yeah.
I was with you on so many points.
Right, now. And that goes to our discussion on what we'd like to get into, and it's going to have to be the next show, hopefully within the next couple weeks, if you can swing it, is about the central bank. I'm not a big fan. And I know Madison was not a big fan of the central bank, nor Jefferson. Hamilton was. And I would say that the central bank, if it was used just for the military and or the federal government and or building projects, like, you know, Hamilton did one thing. He built and he created the Revenue Cutter Marine. And it was shut down because he did it by executive order as the Secretary of the Treasury. It's like, you know, how can you do that? Your executive orders are not supposed to even be issued because it's the executive branch making the law. But with that said, last couple words, I hear the music coming up or maybe not. It's a little early. But when we come back for
the... I don't hear the music.
No, I don't hear. I heard something, but I would like to discuss and maybe to kind of lay a groundwork for that. The next show that we do, whenever we do it, tell us a little bit about why you think that central banks are good. You understand.
Real quick,
and teaser's perfect. I don't like the Federal Reserve. It's not an American institution. It is a national, if not international, institution run by the Rothschilds out of London, of London, for the crown. It's sucking everything out of the United States. It's a vampirical, you know, system. It is a tax. The crown is taxing the United States. They've set this up, and it's not just the Federal Reserve. They're also the ones who set up the Federal Administrative Procedure Act to, you know, break the Constitution and basically eviscerate the separation of powers doctrine. But with that said, let me throw it back to you and understand my concerns with the Federal Reserve System, because it's not federal, it's not reserve, it's not an American institution where all the benefits accrue to the people. It accrues more to the crown, and they're able to, with, you know, inflation and all sorts of other things, do a lot of destruction. With that said, tell me why, and lay the groundwork for our discussion on the central bank.
Okay. Yeah. And I mean, I guess teaser wise, I totally agree with you on that point of the Federal Reserve. It should be completely shut down. Absolutely. It was a coup d'etat inside of the United States. Now, not to say that before 1913, there was no British financial manipulation and British traders running financial intrigue within the United States. That was certainly the case. And that was the case, especially since Aaron Burr set up the Bank of Manhattan in 1796-97, using a scheme where instead of taking federal water, federal money that was supposed to go towards a water project, he created a new bank that turned into just British operation within the United States, and he became the foundation for.
Well, he fled back to Britain, right? England.
Well, yeah, they discovered him at the heart of several plots to break up the United States and to set himself up as a sort of monarch of, first it was the Northern Secession movement to combine with British Canada and let the South go into their own separate ways as their own confederacy to have it. And then when that failed, then there was an operation, and Alexander Hamilton did a lot to sabotage that plan. Then he had a second plan with Colonel Wilkinson, a British trader who was also working with the Habsburgs to break up and create a Western Confederation and set himself up as king, and then install himself by taking over the northern part of the new nation. And that was sabotaged. And this is in 1807 now, the second or third plot. And it was at that point that they had a trial, and he was discovered to be at the heart of it. And he basically ran. He escaped arrest and went to Canada, got his son-in-law, who was the Governor General of Canada, Carleton, who set him up with a ticket and letter of recommendation to meet up with Jeremy Bentham in London, where he lived for 5 years in Bentham's estate, having orgies and doing opium for the next 5 years, literally, until he was deployed back right at the beginning of the British-American War of 1812. He was sent back to start to regrow his operation with now more British help. And his earliest patron, the earliest guy that he sponsored, was a young guy named Martin Van Buren. And together, him and Van Buren created a new machine. Tammany was a part of that, that took power under Jackson and then Van Buren. Jackson was the earliest guy to sponsor Jackson as a presidential candidate too, who later killed the Second National Bank. And so that could be the teaser for our upcoming conversation.
That's perfect. Because even all the stuff that went on in the economy and with currency and et cetera was setting the stage for the Federal Reserve Act of 1913.
Lots to talk about.
Yeah. Matthew Arrett, thank you for being on the program. I hope to have you back in the next couple of weeks, and we'll talk about central banking. And sure. This is Eric Schein, Maritime Matters. And this will also be posted up. Matthew's going to go ahead and post it. And then when he comes back, we will be talking about central banking.
Bueno.
Thank you, sir. And have a good day. And I hope everything's good up there in the northern sector of the United States. I'm joking.
Thanks, Fred.
You mentioned about Ben Franklin and his project to try to bring Canada in, you know, part of these states.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about that too next week or next time we meet up. All right.
Thank you. Take care, Matthew.
Bye.
Over the last 75 years, New Orleans has gone through many changes, and so has WGSO. From our early beginnings in 1946, broadcasting from the Jung Hotel, being home to Papa Stappa in the 1950s, being a music station, talking biz radio to speakeasy New Orleans style, you, our loyal listeners, have been here every step of the way with WGSO. It's now our 75th anniversary, and we are so proud to have you here with us to celebrate. So we're going to celebrate all year long to show our gratitude to you and make 2021 our most successful year yet. And we will also continue to bring programs that appeal to people of all backgrounds. So from all of us at WGSO, we want to say thank you for making us the community voice of the Crescent City.